I mean, you preach now 2 weeks in a row. So
hey, hey, just know we've got it electrified. After set the 10-minute timer and. Yes, Doug, Wayne needs to try.
Yeah, you're right. We closed already. So, we've been in the process for about 2.5 years of trying to buy our home. And because we take care of adults with special needs, we went to go get the loan right away. They said, no, you got to prove 2 years of income and all this stuff because it's a, basically it's like a business. And so we said, okay, so for 2 years we've been living in this house wondering what's it going to go through because it's just a huge process. And so everything, all of a sudden, it was weird how God lined up the steps. We didn't have an accountant. And I went and was at a mechanic friend of mine, and all of a sudden the guy working there goes, well, I do what you do, and I know an accountant that knows how to handle this stuff. Oh. I said, okay, cool. So he goes, no, he's really good with the money. He knows how to move everything around and do it. He's Jewish. I said, you can't say that. He says, no, he's Jewish. He knows how to move the money around. And I said, okay. So we went and met this guy. Now, I still got that going in the back of my head, and at the end of the time, the guy moved the money around. I said, wow, you're good. He goes, hey, I'm Jewish. I know what I'm doing. And I go, okay, now I see where this is coming from. So, yeah, I'm like, I like this guy. He's good. So another year went by. We went, took him the money. He says, well, what are you going to do to buy the house? I said, we don't know because we can't find, you know, somebody who can understand the purchase because everybody wants to see it as a business. It's not a business because you can't own people. Kind of a law against that. But we do adult foster care, so it looks like a business. It's this whole thing, you know. And he goes, hey, I know a guy. Okay, this is getting way too easy and whatever. So my wife calls the guy. He doesn't call us back. Finally, we go to call this other lady. We are given the number for him. On the day we call her, the guy calls her back and says, well, what do we need to do? And she talks to him. He goes, okay. And within, he goes, file your taxes, and I'll have everything ready immediately. Oh. So we filed on like a Friday, and by Monday, we were working on purchasing the house. So it was amazing. Like, just looking to see how God had opened these doors. So I was telling Pastor last week, we finally called him up. We said, hey, we've got the loan and everything's set. We're going to buy the house. And the people we're buying the house from go, well, we want to up the price by $20,000. And immediately I was just furious. And I said, no, we're not doing this. I said, we'll walk like over that. That's a big chunk of money, whatever. And immediately God said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just say yes. And it was really hard. I said, well, I'm going to make them sweat anyways. So I said, we need a few days to think about this. And we went that night and talked to some friends of ours who are, they're involved with real estate and all this stuff. And we said, look, what do you think of this? And they said, you know what? Over the term, it's not going to be that big of a hit. Just go with it, whatever. And I said, okay. So we went back and we told them, okay, we'll take it. Last week, my wife got a call from the bank, said, hey, because of the rate increases and everything going on, the margins move too much. And with that $20,000, you're not going to be able to get the loan for the house. And we said, oh, okay. So the banker that we're working with, he put together like three different plans. He said, go deal with it. My wife called Michael, who owned the house. And so I don't know what happened. All I know was we went back to the original price. And God restored that $20,000 back to us. And, you know, it was just incredible to see how this whole thing has worked out. So when we talk about the cross and that the battle was fought already, you know, it is. But we have to give that battle over to God. If we try to fight the battle on our own, we will never win it. We can't do it on our own. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, but it's against the spiritual world that's out there that we have to fight against. And let me tell you, even Christians can get snaky. I'm sorry, but they can. Like that one guy I did the interview with, he says, man, I like Jesus, but some of his people give me the creeps, you know. And there is that. There is that aspect that people who can say they follow Jesus and still turn around and be a Judas. Yep. There's people that can turn around, and maybe they're not as bad as a Judas, but they still do things to hurt you. Or, I mean, anybody who's been in ministry long enough has had other Christians talk about them behind their back. And, you know, I've had to stand up on a Sunday at one point and say, hey, these rumors going around about me are not true. And it was two women in the church that started all these rumors. They got back to me. You know, this is real. But if we try to fight it on our own, we'll never win it. You know, you got kids that are lost, and you sit there and you say, oh, I'm going to win them back. No, only Jesus can win them back. Yeah. You know, it's you just got to sit back and pray and give them over, and sometimes they have to go through the valley of the shadow of death to figure out how to get back to the cross. Yeah. But that's the reality. So, you know, just be encouraged. Like, when God said just give them the money, and it was almost instantly, and I'm trying to tell my wife, I'm like, we're just going to do it. She's like, no, we're not. You know, my wife's Puerto Rican. You don't do that. So, and I'm sitting there going, I think we're supposed to just do it. She's like, no, we're going to fight. And I said, no, I think we just do this. And she goes, okay. And she was getting the same thing. She just didn't want to admit it. And so, you know, it was neat to see, though, how God just organized all this stuff. So we close on Thursday. So I won't be here next week to celebrate. But, yeah, so that's where we're at.
God is up for those impossible things, and those things that sound crazy, like, you know, just do it. What, Lord? You know, come on. You know, 20,000, whatever the case is. Thank you for sharing that. So today I want to drop and jump and go. Stop, drop, and roll. That's something about a fire, I think. But we're going to jump, run, and go into the God's Word. And I think what the slide kind of, I think, helps get us there, living a life shaped by God's revelation. But it is, you know, as we look at allowing God's Word to what? Shape you. If we allow God's Word to shape us, who are we going to shape? Who are we going to be shaped by God? And what's He going to shape us to be? Like Him. Like-minded, renew your mind, all of these things that we can get into. But last week I shared on 2 Kings, and it talked about the invisible realm and the victorious warfare. And so we kind of touched upon that in 2 Kings. Today, it kind of takes me now, I want to go into that of Jeremiah, but I want to share where it talks about divine revelation and spiritual warfare. You know, it gets back into this thing of what we said last week, that you think your battle is here in this flesh, and it's amongst us here, and it's our government, it's the tax man, it's my banker, it's this, it's that, it's my family, it's that friend, it's not a friend, it's that enemy. The battle is in the spiritual realm. That is hard for a non-spirit person to understand that. And so what God is telling us that we've got to do is we've got to understand the invisible, because that's where the true battle is taking place. And it's hard for us that deal in the natural to go into that side of invisible, because why? We're natural. We see dimensional here. Remember last week I talked about there's another dimension out there, the invisible realm. The fourth dimension, the fifth, there's multiple dimensions. We just don't understand it yet. Because of what takes place, and one person sees something, and we didn't see it, but they did, and it helped them, it protected them, it gave them what they needed at the time that they needed it. So if you're wanting to, you can turn over to Jeremiah, around the 32, 33 chapter. As we get into a little bit of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, he heard from God. If you would just go, and I started doing that even yesterday, going through in Jeremiah, and you begin to underline, and it got to be so many. It's like, oh my gosh. But it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I can turn another page and go on in other chapters. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Verse 30, or chapter 34, the word which came to Jeremiah was from that of the Lord. Do you think that Jeremiah has got a connection somewhere? What do you think? We, as well, can hear that word of God come to Tim, come to Sally, come to Bill, come to Jim, come to whatever, any one of our names in here. The word of the Lord can come to you, but you have got to be ready to receive it. You've got to be able to receive it in a way that you will go like, really, Lord? 20,000? Just go ahead. It's no big deal. Might not be, you know, because he owns a cattle. You know, God, he said 20,000. Hey, that's chump change. You're going, but it's a lot of chump change to me, you know. But we got to get to that point to where when we hear God say those things, that we respond to those things. And if somebody's in our connection with us, such as a spouse or whatever, is then what we've got to do is we've got to begin to pray that they begin to receive that same revelation. Right? Because if you don't, it ain't going to work. There will be some hostilities between husbands and wives or kids and whatever, family and anything, business partners. But what we've got to do is when the Lord has specifically spoke something to us, we have got to then go on and say, Lord, what you shared with me and I received from you, will you share that same thing with? And I say that because I prayed that when I stepped out of my secular career. And at night, I'm laying in bed telling my wife, guess what I'm doing? I don't think she slept well that night. I slept well. And I don't know if she was hitting me over the head with stuff after that, but I couldn't tell. I did when I woke up, I had feathers in my mouth, so I don't know if she put the pillow over me or I don't know. I just figured it was part of my dream and I had a chicken. I don't know. And when that happened, I go, I'm destined to be a pastor. You know, it's an old time chickens and pastors. But it was. See, I had that God's revelation into me because I heard him voice talking to me and walking with me and sharing with me through scriptures, through private times. And when I shared what I was doing, and my wife, I'm trusting it's embedded this way, and it's not the iron in my head. But I had such a peace about it. And I don't know, honey, if I'm wrong, please step up and say I'm wrong. But I believe I remembered where she says, well, I hope I can have the same peace that you have when I wake up. I hope I can have the same peace that you have. So what does a guy do when you're fresh in the Lord and you think, you know, you can jump over everything and go through walls and tackle anything? He goes, simple. I'll just pray to God. Our kids are this or that. They're going through health issues. We got to have health insurance. We're not going to have health insurance. I know, but I guess we'll just pray for divine health. You know? It's simple, isn't it? It's only simple if you've heard from God. But when the other person's coming along with you, they're going, I have not heard nothing. What are you doing, you fool? So I held her hand, and I think before we went to sleep, I said, Lord, I pray that you'll give my wife the peace that I have with this decision. We go to sleep, wake up, and I believe I looked at her and like, okay, who's going to be the first one to break? Good morning, honey! But I believe, if I remember right, and please, Dean, if I'm not, I say I just had a dream, but it's a good dream for me anyway. But I believe when we woke up, I said, well, and she goes, I got a piece. Was I dreaming that, honey? Her head is going like this. Let the court show that her head is going like this. Was this true? And her head went like this. So let the record show in our court case here that, but that is when you're close to your God and your God is close to you. And when he has you do some things that are weird, strange, stepping out, where you're going into the unknown. You're no longer going to have biweekly checks dropping into your checking account. You're not going to have health insurance. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have blah, blah, blah. And you're saying, well, that's great, you know. Husband and wife and the kids. We had four kids all still in school. I don't know what happened to my kids. They probably thought, well, Dad, Mom, I didn't pray for them to have a peace. Some of the kids say, well, he had to stop working so he could take care of you because you're going to be a problem or something like that. I don't know. But living a life shaped by God's revelation. You have got to get to that point in your life with God, like Jeremiah, to where the Lord spoke to Tim. The Lord spoke to you. Put your name in there. And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord speaks to you and you know it is his voice, and I've asked God prior to all that stuff, Lord, give me a spirit of discernment because I know the enemy would like to come, steal, kill, and destroy. And a lot of times he will put it upon God said to do that. And it wasn't God, it was the enemy counterfeiting what God was wanting me to do, and it wasn't really God. But anyway, that's where your relationship has to be with that of God, to where people in the Christian circles, Christian outside, or people outside the Christian circles, they may look at you and think, that is really strange. And it truly it was. But I am nothing without God. And I don't say these things, again, to toot my horn to say, look how great I am before that of God. I'm just saying I was a sinner saved by grace. I was on the path of what the world was about. And God, through my prayers of my wife and others in my family, my father and mother-in-law, I know, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they turned me over to God. And once you begin to turn people over to God, nothing can change that. God is all-powerful. God can do these things. It may not happen on your timetable. It may not happen when you think it needs to be. But when I and you and us turn these things over to God, we got to be in that of faith to say, my God heard me. And there's no doubt about it. And he tells us in his word, we'll get there here, that he hears these things. Now in Jeremiah 32, and now this is the thing about, you can go back and just read 32, 31, all this, but it goes back to this. This is the thing of a thumbnail sketch or the Reader's Digest version. The children of Israel, guess what? Turn their back on God. Do you find that surprising? How many times, coming out of Egypt, into the Promised Land, and all these things, that the children of Israel always went back to the things that they came out of, or they always said, well, they began to like where they were at, they kind of liked the place, and they began to worship other gods. We're going to find in one of these areas in Jeremiah, where it says, and they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instructions. That's what God is telling Jeremiah. My people have shown me their back. It's this. My people have turned their back on me. They're not paying attention to what I have taught them from sunup to sundown. All these things from one generation, these kids, these families, these adults, they are not adhering to my word. And if that same thing is happening back then, it happens today in 2022. If we as children of God do not adhere to his word, I would ask you this. Is he seeing more of your backside than your front side? God wants to see our front side, because when I see my front to my wife's front, we're face to face and I'm watching her. And I can hear and see, and she can hear and see, or whatever the case might be. But if I turn from that, I don't capture those sights. And that's what's happening here. And so God does what God does when people don't obey him. What? He turns them over and he destroys their village and he allows the Babylonians to come in and the Babylonian people, and they just come in and they get it. So that is a very short synopsis of what kind of like 32 is all about. And as we look at those things, we just find in chapter 32, 26, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You serve a God that already says, there is nothing too hard for me. Amen? Many times in our lives, we think that God can't handle this problem, so we're going to do it. Well, duh. And look where it gets you. Nowhere. It destroys your life, if nothing else, because you try to do it in your own power, your own ability, your own knowledge, your own strength, your own wisdom. And even though we say, I want wisdom from God, God will give you wisdom, why don't you use it? Huh? Why don't we use the wisdom that God gives us besides taking it back when everything's going good, or if we don't think it's going the way we want it to go, I'm going to overstep God and say, well, my way is better. I know a shortcut, or I'm going to get it done. Please stand up, clear out the chairs, and just run to that brick wall right now. Boom. It's what you're setting yourself up for. Destruction. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So So anyway, he goes in and he talks about what he's going to do. And I already shared 32:33. Jeremiah 32:33, they've turned to me the back. We've talked about that. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. I wonder sometimes when we don't follow the word of God and we don't follow what he's asked us to do, are we not defiling the things of God? And I'm learning about this. Please, I have to learn this, just like every one of you. So I am not standing up here holier than thou. And I've got, well, I do have the answer. It's God. But I'm working through and working through situations myself. But we as a body of Christ have to believe these things and understand these things and work together, pray together, encourage one another, stir up the gifts in us, and try to be there for each one. And at least, if nothing else, to pray. And don't pray to change them the way you want them to be changed, amen? You pray them to change them, Lord, the way you want them to be. Pray, Lord, that you get into the invisible realm in that person and you bring the things that they need to see in the invisible. You open their spiritual eyes to the spiritual understandings in these things. No matter what man does and tries to do for you, you will not and it will not generally last or take hold unless it's a God thing, amen? We can go through all kinds of classes, all kinds of sheets of fill in the blank, fill this, do that. Oh yeah, I'm good to go. But if it's only up here and not down here, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's in the heart. And where do you go when it gets hard? Who do you turn to? Who do you believe in? And they built high places of Baal, which are the valley of the son of Hinnom. Anyway, it goes on and talks about these things. But here, even though they've turned their back, even though the Lord is mad and he set them and he scattered them and he's destroyed their village, what does God do? In 37, Jeremiah 32:37. Grace, grace, grace by God, mercy of that of God. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger. Ooh, God gets angry. In my fury, and in great wrath, I will bring them back to this place and I will cause them to dwell safely. So here we are, guys. Even though you've turned your back on him and showing him more of your backside than your front, even though you're not following and obeying and hearing and doing, and you've turned to other things in life, other idols, other situations in life, whatever that may be, there's always that ability to turn back to him, and guess who's there waiting for you? God. God is a God of love. God is not a God of love and hate. Now, we found there that we read about anger and wrath, yes. But he's got such a love. And I'm sure many times he said, why won't the children of Israel just pay attention? Why? I wonder how many times has he said, Tim, why don't you just pay attention? Why do you want to go down this road again? Okay, this is happening and this is that. You're out there on your own. Go! Just go what you want to do. And I run and I go and I do and I fail and I get up and I go, oh boy, this was wrong. And somehow I come back to that of God and guess who's waiting for me? Guess who's waiting for you? God. God is still waiting for you. My anger, in my fury, and in great wrath, I will bring them back to this place and I will cause them to dwell safely. This is looking at divine revelation. Why? Because Jeremiah, he's not seeing this in a book. He's not seeing where God is sitting there in the flesh and we're having a, you know, whatever they would have had back then. Nowadays, it might be a, you know, coffee or something like that, and sitting there saying God saying, hey, you know what, Tim? You know what, Jeremiah? I'm going to do all this and this, but I'm going to bring them back. It's okay. No, this is all in the divine, spiritual, invisible realm that God is speaking. But what is Jeremiah doing? He's listening. Are you listening to God in this realm that you're in now? I would encourage you to listen because God is sharing, God is directing, and God has prepared those places and ways for you. They shall be my people, he says in 38, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. This is still in Jeremiah 32, verse 38 and 39. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Verse 41, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will assuredly plant them in this land and with all of my heart, with all of my soul. For thus says the Lord in verse 42, just as I have brought all of this great calamity upon this people, so I will bring onto them all. Everybody say all. All what? All the good that I have promised them. Verse 33:3 is basically where I want to start. But to get there, it's like, what's going on? And there's so much more in Jeremiah, just like in 2 Kings. It's just like, you just begin to read these stories, and they unfold into another one, especially when you're talking about the invisible realm and how God was speaking to his prophets and things to share what was going to take place, what is taking place, be prepared. Chapter 33, it starts off, moreover, what happened? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Now, all this is taking place while Jeremiah is in like a prisoner in jail kind of a thing, because he'd been put in this area and he was, it says, shut up in the court of prison, okay? So a second time while he was still shut up in the court. So he's saying this, no matter where you're at, I can come and speak into your present times. That's what God's saying. You might be in a jail, a prison, a court. You might be sheltered into a room. You can't get out, but guess who can come in? Woo! God. You might be locked up. Ask Paul and all that down in the prisons in the New Testament. But you might be locked up, but hey, I can come and I can speak and I can visit you and I can tell you things. Revelatory stuff. But you got to have your spiritual ears on. You got to be listening and watching. And thus says the Lord, verse 2, Jeremiah 33:2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. Oh, verse 3, call to me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me. Many times we call to him, but do you allow him to handle it in his ways, how he wants to do it? Or do we call to him and then we do what we think we need to do? And God says, well, I'm going to tell you what, Tim. I heard you call out to me, but I also saw you run and do it the way you think you want to do it, so I'm going to just let you go. Because there ain't going to be two of us doing this deal. It's either me or you. And so I got to stop. God. And sometimes we just have to stop. Turn it over to God. And then go on living life. And follow what he's asked us to do. Or not do. Or whatever the case is. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty. This mighty also could be said this, inaccessible things. If you begin to look up that word mighty, inaccessible things which you do not know, inaccessible. What's that saying? That it's inaccessible to me right now. But what God is saying, I can bring forth things that are inaccessible to you. And guess what I can do for you? I can bring the thing that is not accessible to you. I can bring it to you. The Amplified says, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden. We are in this time and it's confined and hidden, and this is in the spiritual realm of these things that we're dealing with, that it says it's hidden from you, it's confined from you, but God says, I can bring it forth and bring it actively into you, and I can make it accessible to you if you just cry out, call out, stay connected to me, stay in my word, stay in my path, and just stay true to me, and stop turning your back to me, and keep looking at me day in and day out. Amen. Thank you guys for being excited. I'm so glad. Again, I'm speaking to myself as I speak to you. Show God more of your front side than your backside. Listen to him, follow him, obey him. Allow him to say, Tim, I'm going to show you things that are not accessible to you, but I've got the way to get it there to you. Woo! You may not have that 20. But I'll wait to make a way where there seems to be no way. And then to come to find out, you don't need it anyway. So it's like a test of God kind of saying, hey, just do it, and I'm going to see what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you, when you start serving God in mighty ways and in ministries and things like that, you're going to know that you're going to have to step out in areas where God says you're looking in the natural, and it doesn't look feasibly, possibly, and it's not going to work. But God says, I've called you, we're all ministers of the gospel. But there's some levels of things where people are deep into ministries, like Doug with Forthright, and you know, there's a lot of things happening on the, and it's just beginning. It's just beginning to open and develop, and it's big. It's big. It's going to take big finances. It's going to be big things for Doug to be able to fulfill those things, or Jimmy, or any of those in that particular area. But they're stepping out and saying, God, and Doug has already shared many of these things about where, you know, when we talk about these things and God wants you to do something, it's like, okay, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'll go. Okay, Lord, I don't know, but I'll quit my job and I'll go serve you. But I wasn't taught and trained in seminary and ministry schools and the Bible and taken 5 or 6 years or 4 years. I can't tell you anything about Hebrew or Greek definitions and verbiage. I can look it up and all and kind of get that. Thank God they got great study helps. But it's not that he's saying, I'm looking for a learned man that has knowledge. I'm looking for a man or a woman that has the understanding that I am their God. Throw the education and all that out the window. You need education. I'm not saying that. But don't let that be the source to where that's what you rely upon. Because once we begin to rely upon education, we throw God out the... But I tell you what, if we're going to throw one of two things out the window... Better be education and the knowledge of what man wants to teach you, and you better stay with God where the Holy Spirit will take you into places and open up into your spirit the things that are of heavenly knowledge. Church has been corrupted. Pastors have been corrupted. Colleges that teach our coming out pastors that have been corrupted. How do I know that? I was just talking to a pastor's group this past week. And they asked this young pastor that came out of a Bible college about eschatology and the things that are coming in the end times. And they go, oh, they don't even teach that anymore. My professor didn't really hit upon it. It's like, what? Huh. So if we can do away with that, what else of God's word are professors, college professors in Christian colleges, what are they assuming and taking on themselves to say, well, we don't need to teach them about the Holy Spirit? Well, salvation, trust. Yeah, we had on Thursday, had our Bible study. We're stepping into the kingdom of God. And it's just amazing how God begins to open these things up. I have no format or plan. Thursday morning, I go, my goodness, God, we've got a Bible study coming. What are we going to do? I'm supposed to be prepared with studies and all these things. All of a sudden, you just get before the Lord. Open up your scriptures, your Bible. You come to this and that, and you begin to follow that, and you go, wow, this is pretty good. It's always been there. What? So on Thursdays, we're talking about the kingdom. But we had an article that one of the persons showed me, and I had read it in the paper. And this clergy member had shared all about truth and truth, and what's truth, truth of that, truth, truth, truth. And it's like, I got so confused, I had to read it 5 or 6 times when I was reading it at home. I'm trying to figure out, where are we going with this? And this person brought up, do you realize there's nothing in there about there is truth? That of God's truth? I don't know. He spoke of some book and all that he got this from and all that, but it's like we're missing the point. You want a study book? Throw everything else out and take this. It's right here. Oh, it's too hard to understand. I understand that sometimes. Find a translation and kind of look at it and read it. Begin to dig a little bit. You know, as you begin to walk in God's Word, there's things here, different Bibles, but you begin to look at cross-references and where was this spoken of previously? Where else was this spoken? Then you get that thread through the Scriptures. And that helps you walk these things out. But we have allowed these things to come even into our churches to where it's like we have churches that are not even following God. So how can the lost follow God? People come to the church to find the direction to God, and the churches are just as screwed up as the world is. We're out here going, well, we can do this, we can do that program, we can do that, this will make them happy, this will be good, this is fine, and blah, 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 blah. But just get down to the point of what they need to live Monday through Friday, and that's what I'm sharing, living a life shaped by God's revelation. The world would say, that's crazy, because you're listening to a God that's not even here. We've got this knowledge for you to learn from us. Jeremiah heard from the Lord again. Jeremiah heard from the Lord again. You are hearing from the Lord. And if you're hearing maybe a little bit, you get deeper with the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will hear from the Lord even more. Hallelujah. When he finds a connection with you, he's going to stay with you and he's going to say, oh, I have found a child of mine that's willing to listen to me, even though they don't see it. It's a revelatory thing. It's the invisible realm. Ah, there is sometimes more reality in the invisible than there is in the real. Whew. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, open my spiritual eyes, open my spiritual understanding. That's where it's at. And when I know that I know that I know that I know that I've got something from that of God, I stand to where man will not take it away from me. They may try to dilute it, they may try to speak against it, they might try this, they might try that, but when it comes into you, and I've had a relationship with my God, it's like you ain't taking it from me. As much as you try, because I love my God, I will speak highly of my God, I will love my God. Even when difficult times come, I want to and will love my God, because he's still there for me. When everything else fails, when everything else is gone, who's going to be that person there for you? Whoa, look at this. Oh, bring them back. Bring them. Behold, I will gather them. Bring them back. I shall be delivered and I shall do this for them. In my anger and fury, I sent them out. But in my love, I will bring them back to safety. Oh. When we read in 33:3, call to me. Hallelujah. Call to me is to call out to someone, to cry out, to address someone, to shout, to speak out, to proclaim. This word, Q-A-R-A, kara, in this Hebrew would be this. And it describes calling out loudly in an attempt to get someone's attention. What do your kids do when they want your attention? What do your grandkids do when they want your attention? I got to pass my kids now. I got to go into the grandkids side. Well, I know. They'll call out to you, Papa. And if you're not paying attention, Papa. And if I'm still not paying attention, Papa. What? I got some granddaughters, so I'll be in my chair and they'll be wanting to tell me something. And if I don't respond to them, I had them come right up to the edge and side of my arm and they're looking at me and saying, and they don't shout. Actually, they whisper, Papa, Papa. That gives an insight that as us with children of God, can God whisper and you will hear him? It says, my people know my voice, but do you know his whisper? Everybody can tell when God speaks, thus saith me, God, I want you to do this. But if God says, hey, I'd like for you to do this, is that all? Would you do that for me? But yeah, so I look at your surroundings. Look at the natural and begin to look at the natural and pull it into the invisible. Because God's in the invisible. And God is wanting to show us the invisible through the natural sometimes. So yeah, I got grandkids that'll say, Papa! Grandpa! And I got some that'll come right over to me and just whisper. Sometimes it's only because they only want everybody in that room to only know that what they're asking me is just what I'm hearing. Because it's like, Papa, come here, I show you something. And that something is in the pantry. Or it's in the cupboard. And they know there's M&Ms there. They know there's crackers there. They know so there's whatever. It's just like, But God wants us to be his children. And I can even go to my God and say, hey, God, I got to talk to you. Do you hear me, God? Yes, I do. I hear you, Tim. Yeah, I'm listening to you. What do you want? And there's other times I got to shout, God, I don't understand. It's okay. God hears both. I'm going to do all I can to cry out, to shout out, to try to get above or ahead of the noise of this world, you know, whatever the case is, into those things, into the heavenly. But it says here to cry out or call out, call to me, call. Anyway, it says here, sometimes this means to name something, that is to call it by name as God did. Genesis 1:5, when he called the light day and the darkness night. I think that gives us a clue. We've got to call things. Call things as they are. Let there be light. Well, that's good. Now what? Let the light be day. And let the dark be night. In verse 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, inaccessible things, things that you don't see. The positive assurance from God is that if we will call on him, he will answer us in ways that will astound us. Psalms 4:3. I don't have these marked, but Psalms 4:3, as I'm turning back, if you want to turn there, I'll get there and try to read it to you. In Psalms 4:3, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. The Lord will hear when I call for him. The Lord will hear. What is that? The Lord will hear. Woo, let's look at that. The Lord will hear. The Lord will listen. When I cry out and call out to the Lord, he will hear. He will. Isn't it good to know that when you call out, someone in this life or someone in the invisible realm, someone's going to listen to you. Not a lot of times in the natural will people listen to you. Oh, they'll be listening to you, but as you're talking to them, they're looking at their phone. As you're talking to them describing something, they're looking at the paper. As you're telling them a heartache that you're dealing with, they're looking at the TV and watching something else. They're not really listening to you. They're saying, and you're just talking. But when I cry out and call out to God, I know that my God, if he's reading the paper, if he does that, he puts it down and he's saying, what is it, Tim? I want his full undivided attention. God wants our full and undivided attention. Undivided. I'm not dividing it up between my cell phone and this and God. It's like when it comes time to God, all this stuff needs to shh, and I just need to that. Now, am I perfect at that? No. I'm as guilty as anybody in here in some of those areas, like doing like multitasking. But it says, call, listen. Okay, to hear, to listen, to consider, to pay attention. So as it's talking about this call, what does this word call mean? It means to listen. The word conveys a sense of intensity. The most famous reference containing this is in Deuteronomy 6:4, which states, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So when we get back to this, it's just basically to call, to listen, consider, pay attention. So when we say, I call, the Lord will hear when I call. The Lord is going to listen to you. Isn't that good news? You want to hear some good news? Yeah, Jesus died for you. You want some more good news? Yeah, I am loved. Yeah, you want some more good news? Guess what? When you call on and call out and cry out to God, he listens to you. Woo! Okay, please sit down. You guys are getting too excited. Man, maybe it's just in the invisible that I'm seeing you guys jumping and running, I guess. I don't know. Wow. 18:6, Psalms 18:6. And this is talking about call, 18:6. We're going to wrap it up here just in a little bit. In Psalms 18:6, it talks at the heading of 18, Psalm 18, God the Sovereign Savior. Woohoo! Sovereign. It goes here. In my distress, Psalm 18:6. In my distress, anybody distressed? Those that are stressed, please stand up, you know. It's like, wow. No, don't stand on the chair. I know you're very distressed. Okay, you don't need to get in the chair. Okay, just stand on the ground. Some of us go, man, I'm so stressed. Give me that 7-foot ladder I'll climb up on. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before him, even to his ears. It's just, again, reaffirming and looking at this part of when we cry out, talk out, call out to God, he hears us. He's responding to us. He knows that what we're saying. And we've got to get to that point, though, that, Lord, I pray that what I want fits into your will. But if nothing else, Lord, I do want your will to be accomplished in this that I'm crying out for. And if it doesn't happen the way I want it to, Lord, would you please help me understand why? And I love you. Help me. Help me, Lord, try to figure this thing out. Okay, in that area of Jeremiah 33:3, God assured Jeremiah that he only needed to ask God and God would answer. God is ready to be there for us, but we must ask his assistance. When we ask God, we are acknowledging that he alone is God and that we can't accomplish it on our own. How long did you struggle with your deal and your battle that you finally decided that you couldn't handle it on your own? 5 years. Wow. 3 weeks. Wow. You know? When we understand that we can't accomplish it on our own, we need to humble ourselves, lay aside our worries, and then determine to obey him. And we're going to stop there. It's kind of interesting. As I went through this, it shot me over to Proverbs. And about 3 or 4 weeks back, we were in Proverbs, and I began to go, like, that scripture seems familiar. And it was in the areas of when I spoke in Proverbs about walking in wisdom, discover your purpose. Walking in wisdom and discovering your purpose. And this was part of Proverbs that we were at. And so what I want to do is I'm going to break off here today, and we'll catch into this next week, I believe, unless the Lord takes me on another journey this week. And if so, just, hey, go with me, okay? But I believe we want to follow this. And it talks about walking in wisdom and discovering your purpose. And this is just tying one step to another, but it all is dealing with our spiritual warfares in the invisible realm. I think so many times we deal, which is fine, and we'll deal with those things, the natural realm of things. But I think we all have got enough of the understanding of the natural realms that we're dealing with. And sometimes we end up, because we continue to deal with these natural realms, we don't understand why we're still dealing with these natural realms, because it doesn't seem to be coming about. Well, it's not coming about because it's not the natural realm. It's the invisible realm. It's the divine revelation from God. Remember last week it talked about in that invisible realm, and when we pray, it's to say, pray and ask that in that invisible realm, that you are understanding, or God will reveal to you what's coming your way so you can be prepared for it, or whatever it is. But pray for God to drop these things into you, and if you're not seeing them, ask him to open your eyes. Open my spiritual eyes, Lord. Open these spiritual ears so that I can hear. And I have heard God speak quite a few times. Not all the time, but I've heard him speak. Haven't you? Yes, in your meditation and your prayer, you're sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, yes, what? Wow, God, right, okay. Because he is so intimate with us. And when he can find that, he can drop himself into your situation. And he's got the answer for your situation. Begin to allow that situation to be his. See, allow those situations that we're dealing with to be his. Say, Lord, because doesn't his word say, cast all thy cares? He doesn't say, keep your cares, don't give them to me, I got more to do, you know, I'm a busy God. You know? No, God's saying, cast those cares to me, for I care for you. We got a big God. We got a loving God. We got a God that says that I'm there for you. Why don't you use me to my fullest? We don't use God to his fullest. We are the only ones that limit God. God is sovereign. He's present everywhere. He's all powerful. He's all this. He's all that. Yes, it is. He is. He is. He is. But the limitations come to us when we put him in a little box and want to keep him there. But God says, unleash. Well, I don't know what God says. What I'm saying is, unleash me. Let me into your situation. Let me into your problem. Let me into that realm that you're dealing with. And trust me. And lean on me. For I love you. I have your best interest at heart. The Lord God wants you to succeed so much more than you want to. Here again, our failures are because of what we put upon ourselves that creates that failure in us. And then once that happens, we stop listening to God, and the enemy comes in and he likes to begin to chaw on you and bring up all the bad and the negative and this and that. And pretty soon we are so far from hearing from that of God, it's amazing. It seems like we hear from the devil quicker than we do from God. And we got to be able to see that and realize that and to put him in his place. So anyway, God is good, amen? You guys look happy. Yeah, you're happy. You guys are happy. Remember, just like they say in marriages and all that, you know, happy congregation, happy pastor. Jeez, why is my wife's head following me wherever I walk back there? I'm trying to hide behind that monitor thing back there. Oh, Father, thank you for your word, the trueness of your word that is infallible, your word that speaks to us and leads us and guides us. We thank you, Lord, that you're there in that invisible realm. You're there and bringing revelation understanding to us. And that's what we need to get through this life. I ask you to touch each and every heart here today, young and old, children, young children. Lord, hallelujah, just touch each and every one of us. Father, bring encouragement to us, bring strength to us. Heal our bodies, those that are weak, those that are dealing with situations in their body. I pray against that of pain and suffering, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that they could feel relief from any pain and discomfort, Lord. Thank you, Father. And these things that we have asked, we've petitioned, Lord, to you through that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.